This recording is from FinTech Nexus USA, formerly known as London FinTech USA, held at the Javits Center in New York City on May 25th to 26th, 2022. It's from the track SMB FinTech, New Solutions for Lending and Banking, sponsored by Fundbox, and is titled The State of Small Business Lending Post-Pandemic. Speaking on a session are Ryan Rosett from Credibly, Jim Granite from Enova, with moderator Donata Ramnishta from Lendio.
All right, thank you very much. I just realized that I'm sitting in the wrong spot here to keep the peace. I think I need to be in the middle. Jim, let's go. Let's go. Move.
All right.
Move. You're about to see what I mean. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here with these two guys. I was only kidding. They happen to be really, really great friends. They're tackling the same issue in the space. And I've had the privilege to know them, believe it or not, for 10 years now. That means I was 12 when I met them. But you can't talk about the alternative lending space in small business lending without mentioning their names. So Jim Granite, Senior Vice President and co-head of OnDeck Enova, and Ryan Rosett, CEO and founder of Credibly. So as we get going and talking about the future of small business lending, why don't you please, Jim, give us an introduction of Enova OnDeck, and likewise, I'll turn it over to Ryan.
Sure. Enova is a all online lending company that both has consumer and small business across many different brands, and OnDeck, TBB, and Headway are all our SMB brands, and they all fall under my purview along with my co-head, which is Corey Camper.
So again, my name is Ryan Rosett. I'm a co-CEO and founder of Credibly. We're a small business lender throughout the United States. We have really just two products. We have a loan product and we have a merchant cash advance product. We service over 400 different SIC codes. We have had multiple securitizations, institutional capital, debt from insurance companies, we're just looking forward to this panel today.
And Donata Ramnishta, I work for Lendio, which is the largest small business marketplace in the United States. So I remember, what was it, 2.5, 3 years ago, we were talking about how we get ready for a downturn. And then we get hit with a catastrophe that we all know what it was. And here, both of your organizations have not only survived, thrived through this period and helped a lot of small businesses get out of the situation that we're in. First of all, maybe just tackle a little bit what has allowed your organizations to thrive through this period. And two, tell us a little bit about what has changed, if anything, in the way that we think about extending credit further.
Can we start?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Let's go back to March of 2020 when the pandemic hit. We are a small business lender. That moment when we went home from the office, and I think we all went back and we were a remote work environment and businesses were closed down, it was super scary. Having a decade of work in this industry and being put in a position where potentially, to think that this wasn't a business any longer was very scary. What we found was we continued to work through and work with our customers. And I think Donata was asking, how did we get through it? I would say the recipe of what we did was being customer-centric. We worked with our customers. We created a help at credibly.com email where if they needed assistance, we never put a holiday on their payment. So each one of our customers, if they could afford to pay $10 a day, a week, a month, whatever it was, just as a reminder that our loan is out there and they need to adhere to the terms of it. We worked with them until they got back on their feet. We asked them for their statements. As soon as they can afford to start paying us back, we brought them back to their normal level. We found that to be a really, we put ourselves in the shoes of the small business, and we worked with them. And it proved to work for us. We were able to, we amended our securitization, so we never went into rapid amortization, and then we repealed it in August of 2020. We were the only company to do that. And then from there, we refinanced our ABS in 2021.
Yeah, so for Enova, we kind of had two parts of the going back to the beginning of the pandemic. The first part, when we had Enova as a standalone before we bought OnDAC, that was very similar. We were in a situation where we had a very strong balance sheet. We had really good unit economics, and we felt like our book was going to be able to hold up really well. So we got very customer-centric as well. We paused lending. I think we might have been the first lender that paused lending in the space. And that was partly also because at that time we didn't have any securitization, so that was also a little bit easier to do.
Wait, you want me to admit on stage that I told you you were crazy?
Oh, yes,
but, that was awesome. But you were right? Okay, fine. I'll do that.
So, you know, we got very customer-centric. We, you know, tried to ensure that we were very proactive with our customers, too. We called out. We, you know, took a very industry-centric approach to it. We looked at the industries we thought would get affected, and we were very proactive. That ended up working out very well. Our book, you know, performed at a very high level, which was great. The second half of it was we were in a great position compared to many companies that were in the space, and we were able to buy OnDAC, which has turned out to be an incredible opportunity for us. And combining what OnDAC brings to the table with their brand and their online experience, along with Enova's technology and analytics and execution, and you know, we feel very good about our future. So that's the past. Going forward, you asked what changed or how we're looking at the future. And I would say there's two main things that I believe. One is that, you know, the digital banking is table stakes at this point. There are so many, everyone is so used to at this point using some form of financial services online, that it's become kind of the norm. So over the years, as time has gone, where a lot of people didn't consider using different online tools for their financial needs, including small businesses, I think that that is, for the most part, gone by the wayside. I think that it is prevalent. So I think that's one. And then two, during most downturns, you usually see a huge influx of small businesses created. Many people end up at home, they may not have a job, or they get their entrepreneurial hats on and they start to create businesses. There was a study that I read, I believe it was from the Fed, that said there was like 20 million businesses created over the last year and a half. So that's going to be, at some point, we look at that as a tailwind that is going to be coming as these businesses mature, the businesses that become larger businesses that will fit credit boxes for all of the companies that are here at this conference in the near future. I think there's a great opportunity for those that are able to create the best customer experience with really good unit economics, which is what we focus on every day.
And Ryan, if you as you think about data moving forward, how are you guys at Credibly thinking to inject that as part of the customer experience and the journey in underwriting? Yeah.
So what I'd say is on the underwriting side, we've been super focused on data and data analytics and data science since, I think, around 2014. So just ingesting as much data as we can and making judgment calls and adjusting whether it's term or cap based on industry. The interesting things that we can do is if there's a natural disaster, a hurricane, a tornado, in minutes, we can pivot how we react to those fundings. So unlike banks and things of that nature, there's where we have the ability to really kind of react and leverage the data. and we start to see certain cracks in certain industry types, and we're able to really respond quickly by what we do is we either cap the term or cap the dollar amount. And that may become less attractive to the merchant, as like maybe other lenders may offer greater term or greater dollar amount, but we're starting to see things that may see some cracks or deterioration, and we can adjust to that. And that's something that, because we get real-time data, we're able to really adapt very fast and change our models and change the way that we throttle the way we approve or even fund. So like I was using a natural disaster, if there was a wildfire in California, we can do virtual site inspections immediately. And so right before funding, you know, if that's something that we're concerned about, whether there's a fire or they were impacted based on the zip code or whatever it is, that we can just send that out. It's a quick, you know, like Jim was saying, like all these different technologies, you send a link out, the merchant clicks it on their phone, they take a few pictures of like whether it's their inventory, their signage and things of that nature, comes back to us in minutes, and then we can fund. So those are things that we do, and we're able to leverage the data and data science team and to make better and smarter decisions and smarter yeses.
That's great. Well, it would be amiss not to sort of note the gorilla in the room, which is we're about to enter a recessive economy, and we're seeing some flavors of that. What are you and your organizations, how are you thinking about it, and how are you preparing for the opportunity, but also the management of risk?
Just going really long term. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go longer, deeper, cheaper for sure. You know, that's for sure we're not doing that. So as a general practice, we, trying to be good operators, we always have a plan that's in place for downturns. And I mean, we have a literal plan that we try to look at, and we're ready for it. Unfortunately, in the pandemic, it kind of, you know, let's say it's a 3 or 4 layer plan. We went from 1 to 4 in about a minute, which was interesting. But, you know, we always have a game plan of how we look at it. And, you know, one of the things that we'll look at is, Ryan mentioned, is the performance, which is, we're, you know, always looking at performance. I mean, in the fintech space, I always joke that we look at it with a huge capital F and a small T. Like, we monitor credit. That's what we do. Like, we use technology to enable it, and we want to make it incredibly effortless for the customer, and that's where we focus. But in the end of the day, we manage credit, and that's how you're going to get, you know, your value, in my opinion. Because if you have a crack in credit, I mean, all you have to do is go, you know, look out in the market and see what happens when you have a crack in credit. It's just, it's not a good thing. So, you know, we have that plan. We look at that. We'll look at performance. Again, we have always focused on making sure we have really solid unit economics, so we're ready to adapt. And as Ryan mentioned, and, you know, I think most good companies that are good stewards of their portfolio, you know, you're ready, nimble, and able. And our AI and machine learning allow us to really be able to be incredibly nimble to make shifts in what we're seeing that's going on. So between that, good unit economics, and our plan, we're ready to go. I mean, and I believe we'll be able to take advantage of it, as it stabilizes, which is what we'll always look for.
Well, because fundamentally, right, like this industry was born out of the need, right, out of a recessive economy, ultimately. And small businesses will need alternative lending, frankly, more during those times than ever, mm-hmm. right, as banks constrict and there'll be more customers in need of funding. So how are you thinking about this?
So the way I sort of view like an economic downturn or a recession is that banks, which are a competitor of ours, albeit not a huge competitor just because of the timeline that it takes them to ultimately approve. Our average loan size is $65,000. A bank to do a $65,000 loan, there's just like no economics or unit economics in it for them. So there's just like, I don't view us as like a true competitor. But what banks will do is during a recession, they will sort of stop lending to small businesses, which there should be a flight to quality to companies like OnDeck, incredibly, where we'll see a higher credit quality customer that we may not have otherwise seen in normal or in areas of growth. So I think what I don't want to say our business is recession-proof, because I don't know that any business necessarily is recession-proof, but I do believe that we can manage our way through it. And like Jim said, like the 100-year event of a pandemic, you know, I don't think anyone had a model for. You know, no one built in that, or they would do no business. So that was a unique situation. What we're experiencing today, I think we're well positioned to manage our default rates and work our way through, and we should see a lift in higher credit quality.
That's great. Well, I'm going to ask one more question, then I'll pass it on to the audience. So get ready, get your questions ready. And Justin and I were talking about this yesterday. So we're in this world where we're all trying to solve for small business, right? And to some level, there's competition, a very healthy one, but ultimately, we're in this journey to help small business. What are the opportunities that we have as industry to band together to continue this mission, to solidify alt lending and or to deploy more capital out there to Main Street America?
Amigo?
Sure. I think I always believe that making sure that you're providing a great service to the customers that is transparent, that truly has the interest of the merchant in this case at heart, is the way to do that. And do that, again, we all need to make money doing it. So you want to make sure that you're good stewards of your capital, or to your shareholders, or to your owners, however you are structured. But I think it's really doing right by the customer and making sure that we are being very transparent and trying to do the right thing. There are still many different avenues in which people can act within the industry that is probably not in the best interest of the merchants. And I think that the more we can band together to get good regulation that is good for all, that allows us to provide access to capital to these merchants that they otherwise would not be able to get through traditional financing, is the key.
And so I completely agree with what Jim just said. Transparency is super important. Like when we make a loan, we want the merchant to know what they're entering into. We're not trying to hide anything in the agreement. We want them to understand the payback. We want to understand that whether they can afford it. I mean, we built the offer so that they can afford it, but we want them to understand it. And that's something that we're super clear about. So, you know, having a level of transparency and Jim mentioned like regulatory potential changes, I welcome it. You know, it's mostly surrounding disclosure. And so, you know, if we can disclose more or be more, whether it's APR or, whether there's a brokerage commission on it, anything along those lines that at least the customer understands why the cost of capital is what it is, because we all do risk-based pricing. And so if we'll go down to a company that's 6 months old, of course it's going to be more expensive because there's a higher likelihood that they're not going to succeed. So we have to price that in versus a 9-year-old company that may have a 750 FICO and et cetera, they're going to be priced differently. So those are, but we transparency and just kind of, you know, we like Donata started, we're friends, we compete, but there's a big market out there for small business lending.
That's great. All right, let's start with the questions. What questions do you have for Ryan and Jim?
Well, I'll answer the first one that I see on the screen.
Oh, there is one.
Yeah, that says, is Enova lender? Yes, we are a lender. That was one question. So we are a balance sheet lender.
Oh, and yeah, if you do not know that, look it up on what kind of lender they are and how lend.
We're a publicly traded company. Yeah. We put out in small business lending, we did nearly $700 million last quarter.
All right. Well, anybody wants to ask a question out loud? If not, we have plenty over here that have come in through Brella. Anybody? No brave souls? No? Okay. I'll take the next one here. Given rate hikes, are you seeing any trouble signs in delinquency rates already?
So we're running at, okay, I'm going to answer that in two parts. I don't know, you know, so we have a fixed, we're not a bank. So, you know, we secure capital through the asset-backed securitizations, and then we have senior credit facilities and things like that. All our rates are fixed. So, and we locked in, you know, 6-8 months ago. So we're not experiencing the changes from the rates increasing. Small businesses, on the other hand, are being affected by inflation. I mean, and everyone, I think, probably heard about Target and, you know, kind of missed, you know, how inflationary issues are kind of affecting their margins, and their stock took a 25% hit. So, like, if Target's taking a hit, you know, certainly small businesses are feeling the pains as well. We're cash flow lenders, so we look at their cash flow and we see what they can afford. And we're looking at it on a real time basis. We're not looking at it from a year ago, and that's the way we price our deals. And it's is there going to be a creep up in delinquencies? Yes, we're running at historical lows, so I think that we will see it edge up. But we provision for a certain loan loss, and we're not hitting it. So, you know, I there's something to be said about trying to hit the target. You can't, it's not a perfect science, but you try to. But I think all consumer and small businesses have been running at like historical lows on write-offs.
Yeah, I think the performance has been very good for a long time. Probably last year and a half, hit near historical lows. I think Ryan's right in terms of, are we seeing any trouble signs? I mean, I think, again, we tend to look at it a lot of times in industries. I think there will be certain industries and different cycles that will benefit and have negative effects to their industry. I think that, right now between, as an example, I think there's, with all the inflation and mortgage going up, I think that the construction industry, along with getting supplies, is going to be tougher. And we'll look at things like that and think through it. But in general, just like Ryan said, we have targets. We're always monitoring those. And if we find pockets through our AI and machine learning, as well as through our analysis, we make the adjustments on the fly as needed.
Well, I'm being cued that we're out of time, but I just wanted to wrap up by saying thank you very much to both of you. I also want to wrap up by sort of summarizing, manage your portfolios well, be customer centric, be forward thinking in how you invest in the customer journey and use the data. And there's always an opportunity to collaborate no matter how much competition there is, because we can make this industry better. So with that, thanks to both of you. It's been a privilege. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.